Benzinga's Cannabis Capital Conference returns to Miami Beach on April 11th and 12th. I may be biased, but I'm telling you, this event is a can't miss. Join us to build the foundation of your next game-changing deal with CEOs and decision-makers from leading companies in the industry. We're talking about the next wave of businesses, strategies from the most profitable businesses, and exactly what investors are looking for in a challenging market. Go to bzcannabis.com to meet your next investor, co-founder, and new friends. A little pro tip from me, right now tickets are $1,000 cheaper than prices at the door. Get yours now. It's Thirsty Thursday. What's cracking, y'all? Welcome back. This is Elliot Lane, co-host of Benzinga's Cannabis Insider, with the one, with the only Argentinian action figure himself, Javier Jase. What up, my brother?
Doing great. What about you, Mr. Elliot Lane?
I'm feeling good today. Like, I got to pull up the comments. I can't see the comments right now, but if you're in the chat, appreciate you all. Drop a hello. Drop a what's up. Say hey to Javier, since he's the only one who can see right now. Don't say hi to me. It's fine.
I am talking about WhatsApp. So I created this group, right? And it's like a group where you can send news items, but people cannot respond, right? It's just like the admin can send messages. But my number is tied to it. So I'm getting probably like 10 messages a day from random people on WhatsApp asking me to score weed. And I'm like, dude, we're a media outlet. We don't sell weed. It's like, come on, dude. Like today, one of them simply like sent a message just cursing. Oh, like man. The whole, like the entire thing is like, oh, damn, blah, 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 blah. I want to smoke weed. And it's like,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sorry, bro. That being said, like, he probably needs some, to be fair. You know, if he's that stressed, like, cannabis helps that to an extent. I mean, maybe we hear from our guests today some similar experiences. We actually have a really cool show. So we're going to go light on the news today. I'm going to get Javier's number one top headline. You've got, like, 1 minute to think about it.
Why don't people go check out Cannabis Daily?
You get one headline.
Daily news show.
I agree with you. Right, I agree with you completely. You should check out Benzinga Cannabis Daily. Thank you, Javi. That's a good plug pre-show here. Make sure to listen to it around 8:30 a.m. every morning on Benzinga LinkedIn, Benzinga Cannabis LinkedIn, Benzinga Cannabis Twitter, Benzinga Cannabis YouTube, and also on Apple and Spotify and all those places afterward. But 5 minutes of news, and my guy Javi, you never forget to call it out. I appreciate
I love
you,
it.
Brother.
It's a great show, man. It's a great show. I'm looking to add it to our MarketFi products now as well. Ooh. If you don't know, Benzinga runs MarketFi, and within MarketFi, which is a platform where you can subscribe to different products that will help you pick the best stocks, you know, and really perform well in a market that is tough. One of the products is related, of course, to cannabis stocks, and I think
true.
You know, that would be a nice addition. So,
hey, Javi, I'm just going to tell you right now, brother, your dulcet, wonderful lyric baritone is beautiful, but you also sound like you have an alien just saying everything that you say in a robotic voice. So
yeah, that mic, it goes on and off, on and off.
Now you're better. Right? You're better now. Yeah, now we can just get your beautiful bearded voice now.
Exactly.
That's
we're
a weird
today. We're not going to get the details, but go to benzinga.com/cannabis today. One is a slightly brutal quarter for canopy growth.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that. And the other one is the...
I think that was kind. Here's my worry about canopy growth is the sentiment surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's the sentiment around other cannabis stocks and the expectations of earnings and the potential sell-off you see around some similar stocks. Obviously, you have your own Diamond Hands for Sundial. You have your own holders for Village Farms, which, of course, went through its own troubles over the past month. But they're still a very, very, very strong brand in the Canadian market. But you never want something like that, an earnings for a specific company, to leak into how people think about the industry at large, just given that it's so retail oriented, which means it's a very emotional industry. And I just want everybody, just keep your hats on, just be strong, you know, do your due diligence for the love of DD, do it. But that being said, y'all, CGC, I would expect this. I think they are not as low as like a Hexo, right? This is not, they are revamping their structure. They were going to go through troubles. I think we all kind of expected kind of a low quarter. That being said, you know, they really need to do right this time next year. It would be what I would say.
Indeed. Indeed. And then there was like an interesting court case around raw papers, but I don't want to spill all the details because it's complex. Mm. So Infiga.com/cannabis after this show.
Yes, after the show. That is a key word there. That being said, what do you say we dive into the tech side of cannabis? Yeah. Are you pumped for that? Because I am. I think technology and cannabis, there's so many ways we could go with this. We're going to go commerce. We're going to go a little B2B, a little B2C. We're going to see what's happening over at Weed Bates. Let's please bring over the CEO of Weed Bates, Grigori Mikelyan. My guy, Grigori, how are you? Welcome in.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Javier, how are you?
Doing great, good man. To this day, you have the best logo. It's a friggin' bear with sunglasses. I mean, it's just incredible.
I love it. Thank you. The one on the wall. It's amazing. I hadn't realized it was a logo at first. I was like, that is a cool painting. And then it was like, oh, wait, that's the Weed Bates logo.
Yeah, it's our, this is the behind me in my office. So yeah, it's a very interesting logo.
Awesome, my friend. So I know the panda. I didn't want to say bear, but like panda, I love the fact that you went full panda on that. So that said, my friend, dive into this a little bit for us. What is Weed Bates?
Well, Weed Bates is a commerce driven marketplace that connects consumers with cannabis brands, dispensaries, delivery companies across the United States. Weed Bates Grow, our B2B platform, is to empower small and medium-sized entrepreneurs and enterprises in the cannabis space by leveraging innovative technology that revolutionizes the way B2B cannabis companies interact and transact with each other fundamentally. We were founded in 2021 by me and my two co-founders, both of whom are entrepreneurs. Both Weed Bates and Weed Bates Grow are subsidiaries of our WB Technologies organization. Yeah, we have close to 40 employees right now with offices here in Los Angeles and in Europe. We're pretty much a tech company.
I would say highly a tech company. And just to clarify, the B2B commerce, is that plant touching or non-plant touching?
No, none of our sides, none of our platforms are actually, none of our business sides are plant touching.
Oh, I meant four plant touching companies. Sorry, excuse me.
Yes, on both sides, we work with plant touching businesses on both sides, both on B2C and B2B. On B2C side, we work with dispensaries and delivery companies. On B2B side, we work with MSOs and small businesses that cultivate and distribution companies and everybody else in the space. Of course, we have services offering, which is coming soon, which is not a plant touching, it's ancillary businesses, but mostly it's plant touching as well.
I'm very curious, what makes this the largest marketplace for cannabis in the world?
Well, good question. That message is basically, it entails the scope of services that Weed Bates covers as an ecosystem. We are the only, I would say, cannabis, to my knowledge to date, we're the only cannabis marketplace and ecosystem, as an ecosystem that entails anything from advertising a company that manufactures the pre-roll to a company that delivers that pre-roll up to a company that manufactures the machine that rolls that pre-roll. So we are an ecosystem in a way that we cover every facet of a cannabis business. That's why it makes us the largest in a sense of, the size of, aspects we cover in this industry, not by market capitalization. Yeah.
Well, which is,
we're not the largest marketplace by market capitalization yet. So
yet
to be correct. Yeah.
And So is the only way to you know, work with you as a brand, say, is it to list on Wheatbaits, or do you, for instance, white label some of these marketplaces as well? Imagine, say, Benzinga wanted to have a benzinga.com/cannabis/shop, right? And get a bunch of brands in there, right? Are you selling your technology to other businesses as well?
No, we're not a software as a service business. We're a marketplace that is a platform that would help brands to find anyone from a packaging company to a wholesale distributor to, if a brand is also a cultivator, let's say, and they have multiple licenses, they would find hydroponics equipment and supplies with our partnership with one of the, or some of the largest hydroponics supplies and equipment distributors in North America. So we not only sell products, we help brands to discover services and other supplies and anything they need pretty much to operate as a brand.
Fantastic. And I guess let's go a little bit more deep into Wheatbaits itself, right? Mm-hmm. As you all grow, I mean, you talk about being the middleman for companies looking for equipment, companies looking for, you know, grow support, business support in that sense. You have the ability to connect brands to consumers. You're filling a large bucket of needs, we'll say.
Yes.
Right. So that's a lot for one company to do, but also it's something that obviously they kind of, it's not super different tech, but what's the future of Wheatbaits? Like, what is going to take you to being the pinnacle of tech in this industry?
Well, it will take a lot to be the pinnacle of tech in this industry, as in any, Wheatbaits incorporates a sophisticated technology, which evolves day by day, and Wheatbaits will cover all the facets of the business in the space, from insurance to finance to distribution to marketing, advertising, display ads, and everything else. Wheatbaits aims to be a centralized platform that will help the cannabis business in general, the cannabis industry, to propel and to not only network, but also transact with each other. So Wheatbaits is not a single platform. Wheatbaits is not an e-commerce company, but it's an ecosystem that is growing, and an ecosystem that is catching a lot of attention from both non-institutional and institutional worlds. So it's been a very interesting, you know, a journey. And it's been very interesting to watch everything happen.
And then one more follow-up for you. When it comes to the B2C side specifically, right, how are you promoting, and I guess this may apply to B2B, but I'm assuming it's mostly B2C. How are you promoting loyalty for brands? Or how do you incentivize consumers for certain brands? How are you communicating between brands and consumers? I'm just curious what type of community you're drawing there.
Yeah, so since we started with B2C, then we evolved pretty much into B2B right after we were pretty much successful in launching our B2C marketplace. The way we connect brands with consumers is we collect very important data sets that will help brands and do help brands to make proper decisions in both manufacturing products and targeting consumers. To say that we are sophisticated enough to be able to provide an enormous value to all these brands right now as whole, I wouldn't be able to say that right now. But down the road, I see a clear pathway how brands can connect with their consumers through proper access to proper and deep data analytics and offering as well, which are inspired by these data analytics. And of course, the tools as well, the communications tools that we're having in our product. We have product goals, pretty much, that we're pretty much looking to develop down the road, which will definitely benefit these brands. By developing tools, by developing and giving access to tools that will help these brands deliver a better message and more intense and more targeted message to their audiences.
You know, some of the, you know, looking at some of the preliminary data that you might have, what are some of the trends that you're seeing in terms of product, right? I understand that you gather several retailers, right? There's several sellers for each product. So you get data from a bunch of different sellers, but at the same time, you get aggregate data on what kinds of products are more in demand and which products are seeing demand surge. So what kind of trends can you share with us?
Well, our data is cross-platform, and because we have cross-platform data that starts from a user interaction with a certain product, which is connected to a certain brand, then correlation of those interactions that transfer into our B2B marketplace to companies that help that brand produce that product. And then we have users on that end that interact with products, company pages, brand pages, reviews, product reviews, company reviews. This is a huge lake of very interesting data that can be utilized pretty much and is being utilized right now, but down the road can be even deeper utilized to benefit all parties involved. So that's as much as I can tell you right now. There is much more that I can tell.
State secret.
I can't, this is as relevant as I can say.
All right. Well, I have one more question for you here, my friend, and then we probably got to wrap up, but I want to talk a little bit about how, you know, the B2C side is particularly interesting, but I think as you grow the B2B side, there's obviously so much green grass there. You know, but as you're running this B2C side, how do you attract consumers to your site? Like, how do you keep them there? Is the education you're providing, is it you're ranking higher in search engine optimization? I'm curious, you know, what you're doing to bring the consumer to your marketplace?
Well, we have diversified methodologies when it comes to promotion, but one of our most, important avenues of success, I would say, is organic search. My background is in search engine optimization. I was with a company called Yellow Pages before, and I've pretty much known myself to be involved in SEO for the last 15 years or so. So knowledge, experience, and skills of me and my team and focus on SEO helps us find success. Mostly organic search and of course, user experience. We have a very high user retention and returning traffic. So when we acquire a user, and not only that, we also have a very high word of mouth ratio, which means we provide such a pleasant experience to our users that when they land on a certain product or a certain company page, they tend to come back. So user experience is mixed with our SEO and search engine optimization efforts pretty much builds our audience today.
And that's that piques my interest there, man. I mean, SEO is just a massive, it's just terrible in this space. I mean, if you look at backlinks and how people, where domain authority is for a lot of these websites, it's not great. So, I mean, that for me is super interesting about Weedbase, because I feel like there's a lot of ground you all can claim if you're just good at SEO.
Oh, absolutely. And being good in SEO is a very wide topic. And you can be good in SEO in different ways. But to be truly good in SEO, you have to produce very relevant content, very high quality content with high readability scores. You have to concentrate on quality of your pages, regardless if it's a product or a company page. But SEO is very important. super important these days.
Absolutely.
As always.
Well, Grigori, we really appreciate you introducing your business to us, my friend, and where you're taking commerce, what you're doing. I'd love to do a check-in at some point and hear how things have grown on the B2B side. But until then, my friend, best of luck, and hopefully we'll see you in Miami at our Cannabis Capital Conference. But until next time, Grigori, we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Javier. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome, man. I always love a good tech conversation. Love to get insights from cool new companies. So we have a lot of guests today, and I'm stoked about it, like legitimately stoked. So that being said, three very different companies. So enjoy, Aaron, trying to find a through line on that one. But Weedbates, really cool marketplace, up and coming, newer company. I think we'll keep an eye on them. Next up, we have DualDraft, another company that supports the cultivation of cannabis, and honestly, I believe other crops as well, which I hope I'm not wrong on that. But let's bring over Mark Doherty, the COO of DualDraft. That was awesome.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark, what's up, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're great. We just had a little tech conversation, but honestly excited to move into a little bit of a different part of the space. So, Mark, if you would, man, just give us a little introduction on what DualDraft is and does.
Sure.
I'm intrigued here.
Thank you so much for having me on the program. You know, whether it's a longtime listener, first time caller, you know, I love the show, guys. It's been great. And DualDraft Integrated Airflow. So we solve for the two most pressing issues in controlled environment agriculture. So whether we're growing in greenhouses or warehouses, single tier growing or vertical farming, and those issues are poor drainage and microclimates. And those two issues are holding back the economic viability of controlled environment ag. So whether that's growing cannabis, right? And the majority of the cannabis in the US and Canada even, is indoor grown, right? Either a greenhouse or a warehouse grown, or whether it's growing lettuce or any other crop in this manner. So what's happening is the drainage issues and the microclimates, they're reducing the economic viability. With DualDraft, we integrate the airflow system into fully draining plant trays and then deliver air under the canopy or under the plant, right? Huh. On the bottom of the leaf surface, as well as over the canopy or above the plant in a fully draining tray mechanism that the plant sits on. And this improves yield, quality, consistency, and plant health. And that's why at DualDraft, we say airflow makes plants grow, because literally we're science-based. It's a science-based solution. When you're delivering air under the leaf surface, you're stimulating the plant to uptake more CO2. CO2, and you guys, I don't know if you know this already. Some people know this, some people don't. CO2 is a critical component to plant growth. Yep. That's why we pump our rooms full of CO2 in the cannabis industry and other CEA industry. They pump the space full of CO2, artificial CO2. And the reason why we do that is to enhance plant growth. So with DualDraft, airflow makes plants grow. We're opening up the stomata of the plant. We're increasing that uptake of CO2, controlling microclimates, controlling the drainage issues, and growing more with the same or fewer inputs.
Well, I mean, you mentioned some of the two of the biggest problems, you know, in controlled environments growing. Can you repeat what those are and like explain a little bit more, you know, because, you know, some of our viewers are clearly very well informed, very knowledgeable of the agricultural aspect of cannabis. But many others are finance people. They're media people like us, right? You know, I am personally a grower, but not everyone is, right?
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked. So the one that most people are really familiar with is microclimates. So when we're running a indoor grow room or when we're running a greenhouse, we have really specific set points around temperature and relative humidity. And anywhere in that space that those set points vary, we set it at 80 degrees Fahrenheit, but it's really 85 degrees Fahrenheit in the back left corner of the room. That's a microclimate. Mm. And the reason why most people know that or are familiar with that is because our bodies tell us when we walk through a grow room, or when we're especially employees of a grow or cultivation facility, everyone knows, hey, this pocketed area of the room runs hotter and more humid than the rest of the room. And that's due to airflow issues. It's due to the inability to homogenize the environment, which is what dual draft does. That's really our first mode of activation, is controlling that environment, controlling those microclimates, right? So the problem with microclimates is, think about it this way. If you've got all the same plant type growing in one room, you've got all super silver haze growing in one room, and you've found that that plant really likes to be at 78 degrees to get optimal performance, optimal cannabinoid and terpene production. Anywhere in that room that the temperature is different for a sustained period, those plants will grow differently. They will yield differently. They will express cannabinoids and terpenes differently. They may be exposed or open to powdery mildew and other pathogens and things, disease. So, you know, controlling microclimates is really critical. And through controlling microclimates, we're able to increase, you know, the economic return of our space. The other one that I mentioned is the drainage issues. And really where we started to notice a lot of drainage issues was in vertical farming. So when we started to put racks into grows and started to stack our plants, the drainage issues became really apparent. The reality is that most growers are going to a crop steering methodology. So very specific methodology around how they're influencing their crop development. One piece of that is irrigation strategy. And so if our plant isn't drying back in between receiving water pulses,
yeah,
then that dry back period is affected by the poor drainage. So that's the first thing. The mm-hmm. second thing is that if a plant is sitting in water, that's commonly referred to as wet feet. Wet feet opens the door to a host of problems, root rot, pythium, all kinds of things that will kill your plants, reduce the yield or quality of your plants. And then any stagnant water is adding to the humidity of our room. And mm-hmm. we're constantly combating humidity in cannabis cultivation.
Interesting. I have a bunch of follow-ups here. You know, so you mentioned these microclimates, right? And I'm curious because, I mean, consistency in product is a big issue in cannabis, especially when you're not smoking it, when in these other consumables such as edibles and you know, perhaps beverages, really, you know, just basically consistent entourage effect every time you tap into the same product. So thinking about that, and really comparing it to other industries, how close does your product bring a cannabis plant to being the same every time it's grown in that greenhouse all the way around?
Absolutely. So, you know, the environment that the plant is being grown in is a critical factor to reproducing the same effects batch over batch over batch, right? And that's where we talk a lot about consistency. So you grow a strain and you find that strain, you know, washes really well and produces a concentrate that's, you know, desirable. If that strain, say, you know, averages 22% THC, just to pick a number, and then all of a sudden on the next round or 6 months, 12 months later, you run that same batch to try to get the same effect, and you end up at 19%. Well, when you turn that into a concentrate, you're going to amplify that difference. And so, you know, where we see that change, right, is, was the room running or pockets of the room running at different temperatures, different humidities? Were the plants receiving different irrigation volumes, different amounts of water? And those can really throw things off. So when I look at, you know, the two problems that we're solving for here with drainage and microclimates, and I say these are two of the biggest problems facing CEA. I've been personally in the industry for 13 years building cultivation facilities since 2010. And so I've seen the evolution of technology that's available to grow crops in controlled environment ag. I would argue that, you know, the lighting problem that we had at one point is for now pretty well solved. The mechanical systems, HVAC, and that problem that we had is pretty well solved. There's a lot of companies that offer great solutions in that space. So now it's about solving for these other issues, microclimates and drainage, which Dual Draft does in one integrated package.
All right, I have two rapid fire questions for you real quick. Have you seen an increase in yield in the use of your products?
Yes.
Solid yes. Love that, Mark, without hesitation. And then second, the greenhouse aspect. Obviously, this is a controlled climate product. When you look at, you know, say like West Coast cannabis, you know, a lot of outdoor grows. You know, I'm curious, do you think the future is indoor growing? Do you think that that type of move is something that cannabis will continue to see? Does interstate commerce, I mean, make you at all nervous and think that it's all going to be grown outside in California? I'm looking at different scenarios for what could affect Dual Draft's business, but I'd love your perspective on that.
Sure. So as you mentioned at the, as I was coming into the call today, our product benefits all plant types. And so we're, you know, our investors like that. They like the broad aspect of our intellectual property. So our intellectual property, our mother patent, as we call it, covers the delivery of air to plants via the tray. So that's broad across all of controlled environment ag, not just cannabis. Now, specific to cannabis, once the borders open up, federal legalization, who knows how long that's going to take or what form that's going to take. Nobody really has a crystal ball on that one. But, you know, will there be a shift to greenhouse production in areas where greenhouse production already makes a ton of sense? You know, areas of Arizona, for instance, where there's already, you know, quite a bit of crop production under glass. Yeah, absolutely. There's no way that it couldn't. When you look at a company like Glasshouse Farms in California with the massive facility that they took over and have been bringing online for cannabis, one would have to think that part of their strategy is that when it's federally legal, they are a behemoth greenhouse grower of the product. And that would make sense. My hope, right? And I mean, I'm not a betting guy, but I would like to bet on this one. Is that we see federal legalization that helps to mimic the cannabis industry, mimic the beer industry, right? And by that, I mean, you've got your Budweiser, you've got your local microbrewery on the corner that everybody loves to go to, and you've got, you know, Sam Adams, for instance, sitting kind of in the middle of those segmentations. And so would that open up the ability to still have local indoor, local greenhouse type production of cannabis? I think so. And at this point, the, you know, federal legalization, SAFE Act, these things that could potentially impact the industry economically, I think what I try to talk to people about is let's focus on efficiency today. You know, if we don't focus on efficiency today, if we don't focus on systems like Dual Draft that are going to increase yield without increasing the OpEx, then, you know, we won't live to see tomorrow. And we're already seeing that with facility closures. And you mentioned one big one, a whale right at the
today, right today, Hershey Road. Let's not call out the sock.
You know, it's at the end of the day, you know, we're cultivation. We're a cultivation based industry. And I think sometimes in the rhetoric that gets lost, you know, we talk about, well, the market did this, or it's difficult because of gray market influence, or if only we had a better CPG strategy. But the reality is that we're farmers, fancy farmers for sure, but we're farmers. And if you're farming and you're manufacturing an agricultural product, you have to have a high quality product that's in demand, grown at the lowest possible cost.
There's a good t-shirt in there, Mark. Fancy farmers.
I should make that one. I'm going to go do that right after this.
Mark Doherty is the COO of Dual Draft. Mark, thank you so much for joining us at Benzinga Cannabis Insider. Hope to see you again soon. And maybe, why not, at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Florida, Miami, Fountain Blue Hotel, April 11th and 12th.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there. We'll see you guys then.
Awesome, Mark. Appreciate you, sir. You have a good one.
Thank you so much.
Boom. What a cool interview.
Yeah, that was really cool. Honestly, we don't get enough grow tech on here. And I think that's something that maybe we can fix this year. But that was a really cool, I think, unique interview. That's what we normally get.
And the one that we have up next is another totally different one. It's a beverage company. It's publicly traded. Can you guess? Can people in the chat guess who is up next?
Yeah, it wasn't on the thumbnail or anything.
You know what? We have no time. Just bring Mr. Bob Blair on right now.
Bob. Mr. Blair.
Gentlemen, thank you for the patience. I am sure the Jones Soda CBD version had a lot to do with you not getting anxious at all.
What is the CBD version you're talking about?
I don't know. Is it in the works? Is it something that maybe...
Look at Javi fishing for a news story right now, Bob. Do you see that?
We don't mess around with CBD. We play directly in the Full Tilt cannabis space.
What? Like, the only thing you do is mess around. Do you have a new soda flavored turkey and gravy? What the hell are you talking about? It's like literally the one thing you do. Tell us about you.
Oh, you know, over at Jones, we're always having a good time, whether it's, you know, our flavors on the mainline side or it's getting into cannabis and, you know, infusing things across all sorts of formats. We're just moving fast, doing a lot.
I have a personal question. What's your favorite soda that Jones Soda makes?
Oh my God. I've been a green apple guy from way back. I love green apple. I am OG. Just all about it. But I got some preview flavors from our in-house flavor scientist, Sarah, of our upcoming special releases all summer and stuff. And there's some good ones coming later in the year.
Ooh, don't get us too excited here, Bob.
How do you get into cannabis specifically? Like, why do you get into cannabis?
Well, you know, like a lot of us, I was bored in college and trying to learn how to play guitar. And
didn't go well, huh?
Well, fortunately, we're good at business. I had the same
exact lucky for me, you know, I had some CPG brand credentials going on and a love for cannabis that came together at just the right time when a legendary soda brand wanted to get into cannabis. And so as luck would have it, those things came together for me with Jones, because this is really just a dream job and a dream company to work at. I love it.
I mean, you have a very interesting, I don't want to say like marketing strategy, but like you look at Jones Soda next to maybe like a standard soda, it has a very unique look.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So it looks, it's just you guys do it your own way. Like the bottle's classic, you know, mixed with kind of new age branding. Can you talk a little bit about how you're marketing the cannabis side? Because you can't really market cannabis the same way. But I mean, you already have a very unique brand. You may not have to.
Yeah, I guess that's what's been really interesting. You know, I mean, you know, Jones Soda since 1996, you know, so 25 plus years in the soda business. And if you ask anybody about Jones Soda, luckily they know who we are. That's awesome. They'll name some favorite flavor. A lot of people have one they remember, or a crazy one or something. But the very next thing they'll say is, oh yeah, you're the ones that put photos on the bottle, right? You're the ones that do that. You're the ones that put people's quotes under the caps. You know, they, people know us from these legendary consumer engagement programs that have been running since way before Instagram, right? And so when we came out with the cannabis version of our sodas, you know, we had a lot of fun with Mary Jones in the name. But as you see, we're still doing the photos. There's quotes under each cap. We do all the things that Jones is famous for. Every flavor of Mary Jones that's launched is one of the 150 flavors that Jones has launched over the last 25 years. And same flavor scientist formulates them, make sure they taste just like the mainline products at 10 and 100 milligrams. So, you know, however you like it, we got it for you, you know, in the dosing you want. So, you know, I think what's interesting from marketing it, we have been seeing just a really wide open embrace from the retail community, taking us on and putting us on shelves right away. Consumers are excited. If they're already into beverage, they're excited to try it. But what's kind of more important to us is the people who weren't getting into beverage yet, who are going, oh, Jones, I'll try that. You know, and I think for me, I'm less excited about fighting for share with the other handful of brands in cannabis beverage today, and just far more excited about growing the share of cannabis beverage, you know? So that's really what we're focused on.
I know a lot of people are familiar with the My Jones program, but a lot aren't, right? I'm in Argentina. I'm always, like, I've lived in Argentina my entire life, right? I only became familiar with Jones Soda and its products when you got into cannabis, because, like, I was not in Washington, right? I had no way to know it. But then I came across the brand and looked into it and investigated it and you know, got really excited. And one of these things that you do is My Jones. Can you tell our audience what it is? And is it available for Mary Jones?
You know, that is a great question. Right now, My Jones takes the name of the flavor, the photo on the label, some design elements, and gives those over to the consumer and lets them order custom versions of our soda. And it's really fun. People do it to celebrate occasions. They do it for fun gifts. They do it for all sorts of reasons. And we love that. You know, I would really like to offer it for My Jones. For Mary Jones. But I think one of the things you probably know about cannabis is there are a lot of regulatory compliant marks that have to get on the label, not least of which that being the COE information, the batch ID information and stuff. And it makes on-demand printing of labels really hard, because the way we do that at Jones Mainline is they all ship out from our headquarters in Seattle. A wonderful woman named Margie does all of this for the Jones brand, and it's a really high touch personal experience.
We're talking about our personal favorites in our private chat with producer Aaron Thomas.
the blue one.
So talk to me a little bit about the cannabis. You mentioned it, so I'd like to go into it a little further. The cannabis beverage sector and segment at large. What's been the retention and the response for the Jones Soda product? And B, why? What excites you about that market when it's still decently very young? Do you see a lot of potential there for Jones Soda?
Yeah, you know, I think that's what it is we've attached ourselves not to where there's a lot of scale right now in the category, but to where there's a ton of momentum. And that's obviously exciting. Mm. It's really exciting to play in that space. And
well said.
The momentum's being driven by adoption, by people who are coming into cannabis and going, this is a really friendly format. I can bring it to a lot of occasions. You know, you're also finding conversion of that leaf smoker, and they're coming going, oh, maybe I'll try beverage, right? And so they're coming in. For us, it's been really interesting to see the different consumers, and it has been different people who are buying the 10 milligram versus the 100 milligram product, for instance, and what that means, and how do we understand a segmentation driven by that. So I think that there's just a lot going on there that makes it, you know, so the reception has been wonderful. And we're seeing that in certain dispensaries where you have a little bit more of that high dose consumer, they're veering towards one type of a product. Lower dose consumers veer towards another one. We're very interested to see how stock up goes for Super Bowl Sunday this weekend, you know, and things like that, that are traditionally beverage occasions for beer. And we think that we have permission to be in any of those environments. So we're trying to like get people in that mindset, you know, I think so. That's cool. I don't know if I answered your question.
Screw beer. I want my Mary Jones.
Hey, we're friends with beer. I like both. Most of my friends like both, and sometimes at the same time. So we're not one of those crazy cannabis brands that thinks there's a choice to make here. We're all about all of it.
Let them Philistines. I'm kidding. But, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about Jones Soda in general, right, but even before Mary Jones, is like you're one of the OGs to gamify a brand, right? Mm-hmm. And you brought that gamification into Mary Jones as well. You have a Caps for Gear. You have your do your own gear and clothing kind of thing, right? Can you tell us a little bit about what's the idea behind gamifying everything in your brand and even like this throwback to the you know, collect the caps and get a prize, right? Like is it, like, State Fair?
Yeah, it's all what it is it's all really high touch on purpose. You know, like we could have put together an electronic loyalty program where you earn points and store them in some Byzantine weird e-wallet, but we don't. We ask you to collect the caps and send them to us. And we get baggies of caps in the mail and we count them and we send people shit back, you know? And I think in an age where you can electronically do everything, people kind of like the tangibility of this cool indie craft soda brand from Seattle, Washington, that still wants to count the caps that you mail us in the mail, you know? And it's that, like, there's a big difference in seeing your photo show up on a bottle of soda that's in every Kroger across the country than to see it on Instagram. Yeah. You know, it's special. And there's something about that physicality. So for us, especially as we get into cannabis, we're taking that physical high touch and we're just going crazy with it. I'm going to show you something. I don't need to stand up and stick my whatever in your face there. But. This is Mary Zine. It's on purpose a throwback to 90s zine culture. And what you see is a zine that's completely hand-drawn, hand-manifested. And wow. Every piece of content in this is submitted to us by the cannabis community, and then we publish it. And then when we're in stores, only ones that carry Mary Jones, we talk to the bud tenders, and then we meet cool people, right? And so let's look at this guy, Ibrahim Chavez. He works at Planet 13. They carry our products. So then we meet him and realize he's in this badass Latino soul and roll band. So what do? We profile his band and we celebrate it. This magazine's like at 30,000 copies distributed throughout California and every dispensary that carries us for free. Nice. Pick one up, please. But what we're doing in this is not advertising ourselves. We're just celebrating cannabis culture and giving people fun shit to do and a color.
We have a bunch of designs. How do we submit some?
Please do on our website. That's awesome. Go on our website. You'll see a place to send stuff to us, and we'll publish it in the next version of the
edition. There are photos? Is it that the one? Or?
Well, if you go on our website, you'll see a place to submit photos, a place to submit content. So go Mary Jones. Our website has all this stuff on it. But, you know, this is the way we play. It's the way we play with our consumers. It's the way we play with the trade. And it's genuine. There's nothing about it that's you know, marketing fake. It's genuine love. Like, we like to do fun shit, you know?
It is. Mm-hmm.
I have one more question before we wrap up here, my friend. Yeah. Can you talk to me a little bit? Because retail in dispensary land is a little bit, I would say, lacking, right, in holding maybe cold beverages. I'm not sure that you all need to be cold, right? You know, but I'm curious,
it tastes better cold. I'll tell you what, if you're planning on drinking it in the parking lot, I recommend buying it out of the fridge. But yes, otherwise, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just curious, are you all bringing anything from your other retail expertise and how you do that to cannabis and to how you're doing, you're offering your beverages in dispensaries?
I'll give you both sides of that answer, because the short answer is yes. And we were super jazzed about the fact that I've already got a warehouse full of branded refrigerators and wire racks and end cap displays and doohickeys and this or that just you don't see a lot of in cannabis, right? And I was very excited to deploy all of those immediately. The reality when you get out there in the field is that the larger retail establishments have invested in an infrastructure of refrigerators and stuff, and they would prefer you keep your stuff in the truck because they've already got a really nice clean floor display and they've got a place that beverages are featured. But those stores do tend to sell more beverages. They've committed to a place that beverages look delicious in a refrigerator, right? Then we find at the very other end of the spectrum, these tiny little shops, and God love them, they're crowded and they're doing stuff. And these guys are lucky if they can find a spot to even stack some beverages on the shelf, let alone put a refrigerator in there. Oh my God, right? And then you got other people who are facing various legalities of live product on the floor versus live product facilitated by a store member versus things hiding behind a desk and this or that and this or that. And what you quickly get to is it's not just at the market level. It's literally at the store chain level. You have to have a custom solution that makes sense for them, for their store space, for their floor space, for the way those employees do it, for the legalities of that municipality, even beyond the state level. And so there's been no one size fits all for everybody. But the good news is we got all sorts of stuff to reach into the treasure trove and, you know, deploy as needed.
That's awesome. Bob, this has been really insightful, my friend. I really appreciate you coming on, talking about Jones Soda with us. You know, really appreciate you giving some insights into the response and how you're building your brand. But obviously, no really need there. You guys, it just comes natural for you.
Hey, well, wait till you try the product. It tastes delicious, and that's what's most important.
Absolutely, my friend. Thank you for your time so much, Bob. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. You know what? We got to get him on our beverage panel in Miami.
Yeah, I agree. No, that was fun.
That'd be sick.
I mean, honestly, it's almost 7 p.m. here. And, you know, toward the end of the day, I'm always a little bit more, like, tired. And you know, just we already cursed enough here. Like, shooting the shit with someone for a while, you know, not 100% business, finance-oriented was a breath of fresh air. I really enjoyed it. I find this brand fun. As he said, you know, we like to do fun stuff. I enjoy fun stuff. I am a sucker for fun stuff. I am a sucker for design. You know, you saw that from our show on Tuesday when we talked to Miss Grass, and I was equally, you know, excited about their you know, the brand being cool and fun.
It's what I love about Javier. He has a passion for cannabis, and it is undeniable. My friend, I appreciate you, the knowledge you bring. We appreciate Bob, Mark, and Grigori for joining us today. It was a lot of content today. Really appreciate everybody who stuck with us through the beginning to the end, or even if you stopped by for a little bit, but make sure you catch the rest of this on Apple, Spotify, or just watch this video back. Super easy. But subscribe to Benzinga Cannabis's YouTube channel. It is growing like a weed. Yes, I said it. It was just came online the last like week or so. Really appreciate everybody supporting that. With that being said, we'll be back on tomorrow morning with Cannabis Daily. Make sure you tune into Javier and his team's news all day, every day, benzinga.com/cannabis. And with that, y'all, we will be back Tuesday with more amazing content. But until then, have a great weekend.